A reading from the book of Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved, listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. Look further. Think ahead. What might be in time to come? To close your eyes and mind now would be to place a full stop at the end of, your own existence. Look, there is hope. There may even be liberation to come. These words are, of course, not a quotation either from today's first reading in the apocalyptically minded prophet Daniel or today's gospel passage from Mark. But I would suggest that they summarize part of what is being suggested by these inspired texts. What has been is not all there is. More is to come. And it may not be as trying, may not be as difficult and frightening as what you have experienced up to now. Take heart. Daniel lived in a time of intense crisis in the Promised Land, now under foreign domination. I can imagine people losing hope and reducing their conversation with the family and neighbors to phrases like, "Ah, it's not like the good old days. Ah, nothing's right anymore." Less than 200 years after Daniel, Jesus is preaching up and down the countryside and in Jerusalem on occasion too, and his message is one of hope in a land now occupied by yet another foreign power. Jesus is not freaked out by the Romans, but his concern rather is for realities way beyond the political situation of his homeland. It is the people Jesus is concerned about, and his concern is firstly for those who are his own friends and colleagues. They are not depressed yet or disillusioned, but Jesus himself is far-seeing, and he has a good idea what a real challenge life is going to be after he, Jesus, is dead. He knows his death will likely be while he's still young and may be violent. He has already pledged himself to the people, for God is within him as within nobody else. And that divine will to save and free and enliven is his only concern and energy. What will turn out to be a cross is the symbol first of his sacrifice, but of course ever since a symbol of the efficacy and life-giving properties that belong to one who lovingly sacrificed all, I mean all, unto death. Something happens on the mountain. The disciples see something and see it, as it were, with new eyes, with a new mind. They're not to whisper a word of it until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. It seems they kept the Lord's command, but could not help asking themselves and one another, what in heaven's name does rising from the dead mean? Even if they began to get a glimmer of an idea of what it all meant, they were nonetheless downcast when Jesus walked with them no longer. Yes, they could speak of the Lord as present in a new way, but the fact was he was no longer to be seen. Now it is that the story of what they'd experienced on the mountain, apart from everyone else, now it is that this story begins to make sense. It enables them at least to find a conversation piece that helps them piece together the meaning of Jesus' life and death and the answer to the question, who he is. Look further. Think ahead. What might be in time to come? To close your eyes and mind now will be to place a full stop at the end of your own hope. Look, hope endures. There may even be liberation to come, long-lasting liberation, and the sharing of dwellings with Jesus, dwellings beyond the house we live in now, dwellings beyond possible dwellings on a hillside in Israel. Look further. When you do, and when I look forward too, the Lord is somehow at hand, right next to me, if he's right next to my thoughts and words and deeds, right next to me if he is within my thoughts, words, and deeds.